blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalter 35, the sixth stanza. Thy free salvation is my shield, my sure defense in every strait. And thy hand upholds me lest I yield, and thy gentleness hath made me great. The sixth stanza of Psalter 35.
The portion of God's Word that we wish to read in this afternoon hour, you can find recorded in the second book of Samuel and are of the 22nd chapter. Samuel 2 to chapter 22. But before the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 22. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions around about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, had he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him, and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord had recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and my power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies, and destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them. And I have consumed them and wounded them, that they could not arise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of my enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them, as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. Thou also hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be the head of the heathen. A people which I knew not shall serve me. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their closed places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high, above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of my salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore. We will continue with the reading of the sacrament of holy baptism, which you can find recorded in the back of your Psalter on page 126. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God, except we are born again. This, the dipping in, or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witness it and seal it unto us, that he does make an eternal covenant of grace with us and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he does wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the Apostle Peter testified with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formally commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein, when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who has drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and has led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children, and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, and through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now ask the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and unto our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end, not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore, as members of his church, ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother Breidewech? Father and Mother Den Hollander? Father and Mother Oudshoorn? Father and Mother Oskam? Father and Mother Thane van Driesten? Father and Mother Denzel van Driesten? And Father and Mother Conrad van Driesten? Dear parents, we have just heard out of the Word of God, and we read there that David says, "And thy gentleness hath made me great." What is gentleness? That word that can be translated also humility or meekness. And when we do something out of gentleness, then we do not do it in severity. And when the Lord is converting his people, then the Lord is converting them with a great gentleness. The Lord does not force anyone. If you read in the church history about the Roman Catholic Inquisition, then it was the intention of that church to force people's consciences that they may serve not the Lord, but that they might serve the Pope, that is to serve a man. And when you read the way of the Mohammedans, then you read of a people that would force, but that is not the way of the Lord. The Lord does force no one. The Lord, he draws the hearts of his children. We read in God's word that the Lord, he has a willing people in the day of his power. And baptism, that is one example that we have of the great gentleness of the Lord. Why? Well, we read in God's word that there were people that complained about predestination. They say, "Why doth the Lord find fault? Who has resisted the will of the Lord?" And you hear that in persons also today. They say, "Well, there is nothing that we can do anyway." And they try to take that out of the Word of God. Is that true? You just answered some questions. And the Lord, he makes you as parents to promise something. And that promise is that you will do something. So the Lord does not say, "You must do nothing. You can do nothing." It is the opposite. You are made to promise here before the Lord and made to promise before the whole congregation that you are going to do something. And what are you going to do? You have promised that you are going to instruct. You're going to teach your children. That is not easy. And you will experience, if the Lord will spare you through the years, and if the Lord will give your children to grow, to mature, and that they have also their own mind, and you are going to find that there is going to be much that comes against that instruction. You say, "What is going to come against it?" Well, there is so much in the world. There is an internet, a world wide web that comes into our homes, yes, much from the outside. But you are going to find something else. The truth of the Word of God, and that says, "Who can bring forth a clean thing out of an unclean?" We have an expression that says, "The apple does not fall far from the tree." And sometimes the tears, they are going to fall from your eyes, because you are going to see yourself in your children. And thus there will be much, not only from the outside, but there is also much from the inside. Even the very heart, the nature of our children, which will make this instruction that you have promised to give your children difficult. And yet, you will have to continue, because that is what you just promised. Though that you are discouraged, though that you cannot see the fruits upon your labors day by day, then it will be necessary for you to go further, to continue, because that is the vow that you have made before the Lord in this hour. And yet, the Lord is not harsh. No, the Lord, He is so very gentle. Because what He does, when you have to make this promise, is that He makes a promise with you. He makes a promise with you. And that is this day, that when you will do according to that which you have just promised, that the Lord says, I will do too. The Lord says, I will bless it, and I will give fruit upon that labor. Those children that are brought up under the instruction of my holy word. And thus, parents, how gentle is the Lord that He gives to you as a father and a mother through all our sin and through all our guilt, and thus through all the difficulties that come upon us in the performance of our vows, that the Lord, He is there to say, keep courage. That the Lord is there to say, I will give my blessing upon your example that you set to your children, upon your conversation, and when you will bow your knees before me, and when you will beseech me, then I will also hear your cry. O parents, how good that the Lord is. How gentle that the Lord is. And we hope that you might feel something of that gentleness in all that will come against it, that you might find a place before the Lord on your knees, and for the sake of your the souls of your children, remember then what the Lord is promising in baptism, that He is going to build His church out of the children of the congregation. That is His promise. You see that work you have to do? How does the Lord build His church out of those children? By that instruction. You say, that's by the minister. That's by the elders. Yes, all we hope that the Lord may give us also many years yet that we may instruct your children. But it begins with you. And then you are in the service of the Lord. When He is going to convert His people, then it is beginning first with that instruction that is in the home, that father, and that mother that have taught their children to fold their hands and to bend their knees. Oh, may the Lord remember you, give you a place before Him with your children, and give you to experience that He is near and that He is faithful to His own word and promise. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 241, stanzas 1 and 2. My song forever shall record the tender mercies of the Lord. Thy faithfulness will I proclaim through every age, and every age shall know Thy name. 1 and 2 of Psalter 241, and after baptism, we ask the congregation to stand and to sing 425, stanza 5.
Thank you.
Liam Gerard, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Calvin Peter, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Logan William, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Lydia Janine, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Nolan Eric, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Charlotte Francine, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Callum Lane, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins. Through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee through the same Son of Thy love, and that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. And wilt Thou, as that chief prophet and teacher, look upon and remember these parents in that which they have vowed before Thee in this day, to give them themselves also that grace, and that they cannot miss for this great responsibility, and that they may do it in the tender fear of Thy most holy name, and that they may experience Thy nearness and Thy power and Thy saving strength, that Thou may remember the grandparents also, and also great-grandparents wherever that they may be. O Lord, look upon them and also all of Thy own children. For baptism is Thy own institution, whereby Thou dost show unto Thy church that Thou wilt continue it also even unto the end of the world, that Thou wilt never forsake it, that Thou wilt never leave it, and that Thou wilt also out of that rising generation take for Thyself Thy own people. O give us all together more to be at Thy footstool, for we can leave Thee so easy in Thy place with that promise which Thou hast given, and we look not sufficiently for it. O bind it then upon the hearts of each and every one of us together, when the callings are round about us continually, that young and old have to leave this world, and we have to enter into a great and never-ending eternity. O Lord, grant then that Thy word may have a place, and that that high priestly work of Thy dear Son may become precious and necessary to each and every one of us, and that we might see and feel our great need, and that our sin may be bound upon our hearts, and that that sacrifice which Thou hast made and may be revealed in the heart of those for whom it is so impossible, and that there may be also a desire that we may be renewed in that inward man, that we may be made a new creature, and that we might live according to all Thy blessed commandments. Oh, take young and old together, and give place for thy word. Do remember all the needs and the cares in the midst of the flock. Those that are in the hospital, the mother, thou knowest all of her needs. O Lord, be near and dear unto her, and visit her in that place where that she is. And wilt thou supply in all the circumstances also within that family, and that thou may remember all, both young and old, in the needs and in the cares of this life. Grant us yet a good hour together round about thy word. Strengthen us for the labors that thou hast placed upon our shoulders, and that we may be enabled to go in and out as before time, and that thou thyself may yet use us as a little tool in thy fingers for the conversion of many. Do forgive and take away our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 198, the fourth stanza. Like copious rain in time of dearth, so shall his gracious coming be, as gentle showers that cheer the earth, so he shall bring prosperity. The fourth stanza of Psalter 198. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon can be found in that portion that was read to you, 2 Samuel 22, and thereof the last part of verse 36, which we have mentioned already. And thy gentleness hath made me great. So far, the words of our text. The gentleness of the Lord. First, the confession of this gentleness. Thy gentleness. Second, the fruit of this gentleness hath made me great. The gentleness of the Lord. The confession and the fruit of this gentleness. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. That is the context of this verse. David magnifies the Lord. He magnifies the Lord because of the deliverance from his enemies. And what is it now that makes that deliverance so that David is magnifying the Lord? That is because David felt himself so weak. That David felt himself to have no power against those enemies. And therefore that deliverance that was in his eyes, that was a deliverance not which he gave himself, but it was the deliverance of the Lord. That is now the great glory of the Lord. That is how that the Lord is going to be magnified to all eternity, especially if it has become in our life that sin is our greatest enemy and that we are not able to deliver ourselves from that enemy. And then that people will magnify the Lord because of their own weakness and because of his own goodness. And thy gentleness hath made me great. We heard about the meaning of the word gentleness. And then it is speaking about meekness or humility. And of whom is David speaking? David speaks about the Lord. He says, thy gentleness. Thus the Lord say he is God. He is the creator of the whole world. He is sitting upon his throne. He is exalted in that highest glory. And yet David speaks about his meekness. David speaks about his humility, his gentleness. That is a wonder. You say, how is that possible? It is possible only in his Son. Psalm 113, we read, who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high and who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth, the smallest of the creatures, the little ants, the birds, but also the most insignificant of his sinful creatures upon the earth. Thus, out of Christ is proceeding a gentleness that would otherwise not be possible toward a sinful creature. Did we ever feel, did we ever experience something of this gentleness? There is nothing that is so pleasant as regeneration. Why? For its gentleness. Our fathers say what regeneration is. And they say that that is a most powerful work, regeneration. Because that is a work that is making a new creature. But not only do they say it is most powerful, they say it is most delightful, most astonishing, most mysterious and ineffable. What does that mean? That means unexplainable. It cannot describe what that is. Like when you go to the mountains, children, and you see and you feel something of the great majesty and how small that you are. And now to say, to describe that and put that into words, how difficult. You say it is ineffable. We cannot describe, we cannot say how it actually is. And that is what our fathers, they say about that regeneration. Ineffable. But also so astonishing and mysterious and so delightful. Suddenly, Lydia attends. So gentle. Just like when you are sitting in church, young people. Just like every other Sunday. And one Sunday it becomes different. Do you ask for that? And one Sunday it becomes different because the Lord, He circumcises your ears. And He gives you an ear to hear like you have never heard before. You say, what was it? It was just a word. Yes. And now the Lord, He is so gentle in it. Think about Manasseh. That is a man who is said to have taken the prophet of the Lord, Isaiah, and to cut him within a tree. Wicked man. The blood that is run through the streets of the city of the Lord. And the Lord brought him into the prison. There in that prison, one moment, and he bows his knees. And he folds his hands. And there is something that changes in the heart of Manasseh. Oh, that was so gentle. Say, is that so of Saul of Tarsus? The Lord was so gentle. Shall we ask Saul? Shall we ask Paul? What would he tell us? Oh, he would tell us how that he was on a mission. It was a mission of murder. It was a mission of persecution. And when that light appeared, and he said, and he would say to us, that light that should have struck me dead, as a lightning bolt. And then came that gentle word of the Lord. Saul, Saul, why? Why? The gentleness, thy gentleness, David said. When was David converted, children? David was converted when he was a little child. When he was a youth, we don't know exactly. He's just a boy. Are you converted too? You are just a young boy. You are just a young girl. You think that is for God's people? That is for when they get older? No. David, he was a youth. Psalm 23, you know that psalm. That is thought to be one of the first psalms that David ever wrote. When did he write it? We don't know that either. Could be that he wrote it even when he was a boy. Thus the Lord's work that is so gentle, it is so powerful as to make a new person. That is to change the heart of a man. But it's so gentle that the Lord is able to do that operation upon just an infant child. One that is not even born yet. The Lord is able to operate even within the womb. That tender child that does not have the ability even yet to live outside of that protected space. The Lord, with that most powerful work of His Spirit, oh, He is able so gently convert that baby. Did you ever, mothers, fathers, did you ever ask the Lord when that child was still in your womb? Did you ever ask the Lord to convert your child? When it was still in the womb, thy gentleness, how gently he has called Samuel. When he was just a little boy, Samuel. Samuel. Oh, children, did you ever hear the voice of the Lord? Did you ever hear the voice of the Lord calling you? Calling your heart away from everything that is vain here below. That your young heart that is looking after, that is seeking after. Did you ever hear that voice of the Lord that is saying, turn ye, turn ye. For why would ye die? What do you think about conversion? Young people, what do you think about conversion? Do you ever ask for it? Do you ever desire it? You say, maybe it is gloomy. Those people, they weep. They're very sorrowful. They cry. They're not happy. Maybe you say, I would not look forward to that. Then you say, how is that possible? That our fathers, they say, that is so delightful. How is that possible? That a man can be so delightful, and yet he is weeping. Tears of sorrow. Does that go together? Yes. They go together. How? Because there is nothing so good as true repentance. When a man comes before the Lord and everything that is sin in his life, and when he can so truly lay that before the Lord, then there is actually, in all those tears, there is a great delight. Maybe you say, young people, it is so restrictive. That true conversion, you cannot go here anymore, there anymore, do this, do that. I want to do those things that are in this world. Everyone, they are so happy. They have that freedom, and when you have that religion that is cutting off all your freedom, that is the lie of the devil. Because when the Lord converts you, he sets you free. Oh, the devil, he is the liar from the beginning. There is no liberty like the liberty of God's children. You say, maybe, but that is a people who are oppressed. That is a people, they are afflicted. Yes, we cannot deny that. The Lord Jesus, he says that through much tribulation. That church, they must enter into that kingdom of God. And yet David, he says, thy gentleness. Thus, that is the opinion of David. That is his view. It is his view of all the afflictions that the Lord has laid upon him. He says, the Lord, he has been so gentle with me. Is that so? And we think about David. What man had more enemies in this world than David? He had enemies all around him in his kingdom, all the kingdoms from the outside. He had enemies within his kingdom. His own son has desired to slay him. Is that now a gentle dealing of the Lord? David says, thy gentleness. How's it possible? Well, David, he felt what he deserved. David knew what his own sin was. And then he deserved from the Lord nothing but severity. That the Lord, he would cut him off. And when David views all the dealings of the Lord with him in his life, then he can say nothing else but thy gentleness. That was different with the children of Israel. You can read that they complained. They said, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. The fathers, our fathers, sinned, and we have to go into captivity. We don't deserve this. This is not our fault. That is now the way of that wicked heart. It is the way of the heart that does not see and acknowledge his own sin. Then he says, I am deserving of a better treatment. And every little burden that the Lord is placing upon their way, then there is nothing but complaining and there is nothing but murmuring. The Lord, he slew Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And then the people, they complained. You have slain the servants of the Lord. But they knew not their own sin. How different that was with Job. With Job, you say, what an affliction that the Lord brought against that man in his life. And what did the Lord say about that man? The Lord said he was a righteous man. He's a man that feared God. He's a man that eschewed evil. Job did not say that about himself. No, the Lord said it about him. Job knew different about himself. He knew what was living in his own heart. How do we know that? Well, listen to his wife. Dost thou still retain thine integrity? After all this, dost thou still retain thy religion? Dost thou still retain thy confession of God? Dost thou still say that God is good? That is a hard God. Job says, no. No. Shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord? And shall we not receive evil? Thy gentleness. That is now the confession of that church. And what is now the fruit of that? That is our second thought. Thy gentleness hath made me great. What does that mean, to be made great? That means to be multiplied, that I may increase. So what is the opposite of being made great or increasing? That is being made small. That is to be or to diminish. And how does the Lord do that? To make small or to diminish, and actually in the end to bring to nothing, that is to destroy. How does the Lord do that? By severity. Not by gentleness, but by severity. David says, thy gentleness. But is the Lord always gentle? Was the Lord gentle to the first world? When they sinned against him, was the Lord gentle in his dealings with them? When the flood of waters rose higher and higher and higher, and when they were crying out of fear as they climbed those mountains higher and higher and higher until there was no room left anymore, and the Lord went further and further, more rain and more upheaval of waters until the highest mountain was covered, was that gentle? No, congregation, the Lord, he is not only gentle. He is not always gentle. Was the Lord gentle with Sodom? Was the Lord gentle with Gomorrah? No, with the wicked, the Lord, he is not gentle. The law is not gentle. The law does not know gentleness. Was the Lord gentle with Ananias and Sapphira? Was the Lord gentle with Haman? Oh, there is such a difference. Because the Lord did not appear to them in his meekness, but the Lord appeared to them in his majesty. The Lord appeared to them as a great judge. And then they did experience nothing of this gentleness of the Lord. They experienced his wrath. They experienced his hot displeasure. Why? Because outside of Christ, there is no gentleness. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. There is such a great difference. How the Lord is dealing with persons here below. How the Lord is dealing with the wicked. How that the Lord is dealing with his own church. Do we expect the Lord to be gentle with us? In the future here below, and when we appear before him in judgment, do we expect the Lord to be gentle with us? What basis do we have for that expectation? To think that he will deal gently? Is there a good foundation for such a hope in our heart, in our life? Or do we deceive ourselves? And will our expectation be fearfully cut off in that great day of days? Severity. The severity of the Lord that brings low, very low, that brings into the lowest pit, brings into a pit that has no bottom. The severity of the Lord that is making a man to weep, to gnash his teeth. Billions and billions of souls today do experience that severity of the Lord. But now the gentleness that belongs to his church. Why? Because they are better? No. Because he has taken away that severity through his only begotten Son. Oh, how severely he has dealt with him. He has not withheld from him his wrath. He has not withheld from him his hot displeasure. When every man in this world was against him, and his own people even did flee from him, then himself as his Father forsook him. Not in his person, not with his love, but with his nearness. Then he did not speak to him. He left him that he might suffer and that he might bear in full the wrath and the displeasure of sin against his people. He was not gentle with him. He has bought that gentleness for his church. He has removed the severity of all the judgments that are against that church. and that is now experienced by his people, even in their afflictions. Sometimes they say that they would not do without them. They would not do without those afflictions. Why the Lord, he is so gentle in them? No, sometimes when they have to experience them, then it is different. Then they are asking sometimes that the Lord, he will remove those oppressions. Remove thy stroke away from me, for I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. And they are afraid that that affliction that is going to consume them, that it is going to take them away. But so often then it is, especially afterwards, when they may see something of his purpose, and when they may feel something of what David did say here, thy gentleness hath made me great. Great, or it has increased me. It has multiplied me. It has made me to grow so that I was not destroyed by that hand of the Lord, a gentleness that is bought by Christ himself. The gentleness of true conversion. The powerful work of the Lord to make a man, a little boy, a little girl, to begin to live and to begin to breathe, and to begin to think, to begin to meditate, and their heart to begin in quiet places to go out after the Lord, the God of all of his people. The Lord, he says, I will be as the dew unto Israel, and I will make them to grow as the lily. So gentle, the leadings of the Lord in the life of that people. What did David say? Beside the still waters, they were not rough waters. And then especially in the beginning of that life, then it is in those green pastures. And David sees those little lambs in that pasture and how that they are kept by himself. And then all the lions and the bears, boys and girls, they are kept away by the shepherd. David says, yes, that is the way it is. That is the way I make it for my flock. That is the way the Lord makes it for his people. That is the way I may experience it also in my young life. Those little lambs, those sucklings, well, then they stay so close to their mother because there is for them food, where they may drink, where they may be nourished, and where they may increase day after day. And so they are coming up into that house of the Lord. And so they are taking that word of God by their bedside. And then they are reading with interest therein. And the Lord, he is giving unto that people gentle instruction. Gently leading them. It is true, they are hard lessons because self that must be brought low, pride must be made into humility, man must be brought to the end of his strength, the end of all his wisdom, and yet the Lord, he is teaching those lessons in such a gentle way. Then it is not provoking them to anger, or it is doing just the opposite. It is breaking their heart. It is melting their heart so that they are weeping before the Lord. Oh, the Lord just looks at Peter. No, he doesn't look at him. He looks upon him. And just that look that breaks his heart. Do you feel how gentle, young people, how gentle the Lord is? You ever think then a little bit as you go through each and every day? And when there is this calling, when there is that calling, and when you may consider what you have done in that day, and when you may compare now something of the goodness of the Lord to your own wicked heart, is there ever a tear that flows down your cheek? Do you ever feel something of the gentleness of the callings of the Lord? That the Lord does not strike you dead like we deserve. And that the goodness of the Lord never lead you to a true repentance. That you might say with David, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." Or that people that are broken down, the people that are instructed in their own wickedness, and then do you know what the Lord does? Then he comes and he reveals his mercy. Mercy. What is now more gentle than mercy? That people that cannot deliver themselves from that horrible pit and from that miry clay, and that lay there polluted in their own blood and all of their helplessness and all of their powerlessness, and that are laying there. And then as a leper, they are not able to change their own polluted heart. Then the Lord shows them what mercy is. And then they have never seen and felt anything that is more gentle in their life. Or perhaps only grace. Only grace, we might say, is more gently experienced than mercy. Mercy looking to the miserable, but grace looking to the undeserving. And we must experience something of what we deserve, and then to feel something of the grace of God to someone who deserves to be lost, and whom the Lord, in all his guilt, is delivering from all his sin and from all of his misery. What is that? That is like that thief. We indeed justly. Today, with me in paradise, thy gentleness hath made me great. Oh, what do we think of Christ? What has he wrought for his church? What has he wrought for his own people? Long suffering. Do we feel it? It will not last forever. That long suffering of the Lord. Moses, he was the meekest man on the earth. But as such, he was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. the Lamb of God. You know, if you look up the word meekness, children, in the dictionary, you know what it will tell you? It says this. It says gentle and easy to be entreated. Easy to be entreated. The knowledge of sin that makes a man flee from God. But the revelation of his dear Son that brings them again, that brings them to his footstool. And there the people, they experience something of the gentleness of Christ that is not known in this whole world. David said, let me fall into the hands of the Lord, and let me not fall into the hands of man. Why? For great are his mercies. Thy gentleness hath made me great. Thy gentleness has turned me about. When I was fleeing away, thy gentleness has brought me back again. As a publican and as a sinner, at the feet of that blessed mediator. There, he says, I have increased. There I have received greatness. There I have received an inheritance, incorruptible, and that fadeth not away, undeservedly, for Jesus' sake. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou bless these few words and thy holy sacrament, for thou art so good, and thy gentleness hath made great thy church. O give us to be drawn, that the hearts of young and old may be touched with the tender finger of thee, and that thou may bring us to that blessed footstool of thy dear and beloved Son. Oh, we may acknowledge thee, give it in our hearts, for what thou hast done upon that cursed tree, to take away the severity, to take away the curse, that we might be received. Oh, give us, while we are still in a day of grace, to hasten for our life's sake, that this treasure may not be lost by our sloth, by our carelessness, but that we may be born again from the youngest to the oldest. Humble us under gifts received also this hour, and for thy help wilt thou bring us safely to our places. Give us to keep thy day holy. Help each one in the labors of their hands this week. Prosper our way, forgiving and keeping us from all sin, danger, accident, and evil, glorifying thy own name for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 54, stanzas 1 and 2. My faithful shepherd is the Lord, supplying all my needs. In pastures green, he guides my rest. He makes me rest by quiet water leads. 1 and 2 of Psalter 54. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.